Good morning.
Good morning.
How thankful should we be that Jesus went to the torturers to give his flesh for us so that we wouldn't have to? He went there because of his great love for us. It seems to me like that should sustain us through difficult times. It seems like we should always be on our knees saying, thank you, God, that I didn't have to do that, right? You know what Steve mentioned this morning? Of course, we're always coordinating our thoughts. I don't know how, but I guess it's the Holy Spirit is with us. We have things that irritate us in our lives, certainly. Things that come up that we wish didn't. But this morning I want to talk about things that we've been praying for. We're in the waiting room, aren't we? We're in the waiting room. I want to just take a few seconds to think about what have you been praying about, and you're in the waiting room waiting for an answer. Maybe you're saying, how long, Lord, will you answer my prayers? How long? Why do I have to pray and pray and pray and hear no answer? Let's turn to Psalm chapter 13. A psalm of David. How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have overcome him. Lest my adversaries rejoice when I am shaken. That's not the end of that psalm. David says, but I have trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Has the Lord dealt bountifully with you? Jesus said, I will give them life and give it to them abundantly. But yet, we see David here. He's praying this prayer of lament. It's like, help me, Lord. When are you going to help me? But that thought is overridden by the joy that he has in his heart of knowing the Lord. See, for this reason, the Lord said, he is a man after my own heart. Okay? He knows me. He trusts in me. You know, sometimes there's an expression, run around like a chicken with his head cut off. You don't want to picture that too much. But we don't take the time to consider things. I'm reading a book right now. It was recommended by my son, Kenny, who's got a pretty busy life. And the book is called An Unhurried Life. Unhurried, okay? This is by a college pastor who for 30 years or so has been practicing this unhurried life. And he teaches his students, you know, he stands up there to lecture and he says, let's all go outside. And they go outside. And he says, go find your place, a solitary place where you're not around anybody else and you can just think about God. He says, only for about 15 minutes, but really think about God. Slow down in your mind. Maybe you've got millions of thoughts. This teacher has millions of thoughts for himself, how he needs to teach all these different classes. He's prepared this and prepared that, and he's got a big schedule ahead of him. Stop in this unhurried life and give to Jesus what he deserves. All right? Didn't he do that? You know, in the book, the question was asked, how would you describe Jesus? How would you describe his life? You know what the answer was? Relaxed. I've got this. Lord, with you, I have got this. And he would take all night to be with the Lord. He would separate himself from the crowds often so he could be alone with God. This unhurried life, because those few minutes a day, or those few hours or whatever it is going to produce a much, much better walk with you, a walk with God, if I can say that right. Because you walk with God trusting in him. And what does David say? But I have trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. David had many, many years of difficulty, right? Saul was after him. His son at one point was after him to kill him, to take his throne. So another psalm, in Psalm 42, it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with the voice of joy and with thanksgiving, multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O Lord? So now he's thinking, here I am. I am the Lord's, but yet I am in despair. Let's take a couple of seconds and think. Have you been in despair this week because you don't know how God's going to answer your prayers? I heard many prayer requests this morning for different ones who we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Is it going to get better? Is it going to get worse? Is it going to get all the way worse and we'll perish? Even such little things as, am I going to be able to get along in this new school? Right, Emmy? Right, Cole? You know, it's a thought that we're thinking about a lot. And you pray, God, help me to get through this time. You might feel, I'm scared. My knees are shaking. I can tell by my hands shaking that I'm nervous. You know, but the Lord says to, don't be anxious about anything. Please, I've got this. Don't be anxious. Instead, rejoice like David rejoiced. I know you got problems while you're waiting there in this waiting room, waiting for the Lord to answer you. But you know, however God decides to answer your prayer, it's going to be the best for you. It's going to end up being the best. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, how do you do that? How do you do that? You say, God, I have given my life to you to walk with you, and I am, like Chris said in his class this morning, I am part of the vine. I'm connected to you, God, right? I have joy in my heart because I'm part of that vine. Okay, and I know that you're going to take care of me one way or the other. And sometimes an onlooker might say, well, how did that go? It doesn't seem like the Lord took care of you. Now you got this, or now you got that, or now you're going to be put on hospice, or whatever the case may be. How is the Lord taking care of you now? Weren't David's enemies saying those things? Well, they say to me all day long, "Where is your God? Where is your God?" we need to be ready with an answer. It says in 1 Peter 3:15 to sanctify the Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense for the hope that lies within you. Okay? Be ready not only to answer other people, but be ready yourself. Lord, here I am moaning and groaning about this thing that I'm worried about. I've been in this waiting room, and I'm not hearing an answer. Do we really think that God's not hearing us? Remember when Daniel was praying over and over again, day after day after day, for 3 weeks? And finally the Lord came to him. He said, I heard you the first time. Okay? God hears us the very first time we pray to him. But in his own time, he will answer us. He will answer us. And granted, many times the answer isn't what we would like. But we've got to trust God. When we are children and we say to mom or dad, like, why can't I have this thing that I want? Why can't I get this or do this or whatever? And but the parents are there to guide you, protect you, and in their time, give you what you would like and need, etc. You know, I've got this newspaper here. This is a newspaper. See, it's on paper. You get it and you read it. I just thought I'd explain that a little bit because I don't know if a lot of people know what the paper is anymore. the paper girl comes up the street and she puts a paper in my box, turns around and goes back. I'm the only one in the whole street that gets a paper, I think. Anyway, there's news in here. Now, this is 20 years after Katrina. Okay, a few days ago, we all have had experiences of Katrinas in our lives, right? We've had upheavals, we've had difficulties. This particular pastor, it says, "I'm a pastor, so I've given my life to Christ." We're driving. I've got my hand on the steering wheel, kids in the back, wife next to me, and God just suddenly brings up this verse. Now, see, by the way, when you look at the Bible enough, when you read it a lot, boy, verses come at you all day long, right? This verse came to me. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." By the way, this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 through 7. "In his great mercy." Now, remember, this is during Katrina, and he's down there. "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith is of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." This man reflected on this verse amid his travels, and he told himself, "This trial that I'm going through is necessary for my faith, which is more valuable than anything else I have." So from that point on, for me, it was all okay. So in my little experience with Katrina, I wasn't there. But I saw on television, on the news program, the number of people, the long line of people that were being herded onto these buses and taken to the big sports arena, the Superdome or something like that, right? And they're leaving because their houses are wrecked. They're full of water, and they have to go find shelter. And I know I've told you this example before, but you're going to have to hear it again. This one lady was singing above the din of the crowd. She was singing, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I mean, she's singing this among the whole crowd of people who are crying and with their heads down like, oh, woe is me. This is the worst thing in my life. It's happened also to her. But because of her faith in Christ, she knows that his eye is on the little tiny sparrow, and certainly he watches me. Amen? Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 beginning. Paul is talking about in the beginning of this chapter about he was taken up to heaven, all right? And he saw things, whether it was in a dream or he doesn't know. I was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which a man is not permitted to speak. On behalf of such a man will I boast. He's not saying I went through this, but I know of a man who went through it. He says, such a man will I boast, but on my own behalf I will not boast except in regard to my weakness. For if I do wish to boast, I shall not be foolish, for I shall be speaking the truth. But I refrain from this so that no one may credit me with more than he sees in me or hears from me. And then he says, and because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. By the way, we don't know where calamities are coming from. Is it God giving this to me because he needs to discipline me? Okay? Or is it Satan, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself? Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, you can be a better, a bigger, more powerful witness of your faith in Christ when you're going through pain. We are amazed at people that can still be joyful, have the joy that is in me be in them, Jesus said, right? That we can have the joy while we're going through a difficult time. You say, wow, now that person is serving Christ. Rather than a person that some kind of a persecution comes and they go about all day saying, woe is me. Okay, I can't even lift my head up because my sorrow is so great. True, sorrow does come in great times, a great ways. I mean, it hurts really, really bad. Sometimes this sorrow that we've never even experienced how hurtful some of this sorrow is. But we've got to keep our minds focused. Remember I said one time in a sermon months ago, I said the main thing in the Bible is focus. Bring in that lens into a sharp image of God and how much he loves us so much that Christ went and sacrificed his flesh so that we could live. And we've got a promise. We got the promise that we're going to be victors in the end. Okay? Chris, if you were watching the Dolphins there, and they were behind, it looked like they were definitely going to lose because in the fourth quarter, they were behind like 50-0. you'd say, man, I'm going to shut this television off. I'm going to give up on this team. And all of a sudden, blam, 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 they start getting touchdowns. You'd say, wow, I'm glad I didn't turn the TV off. I would have turned it off before the game even started, but where was I going with this? God can do anything, and we have the victory in the end. We're guaranteed the victory. So let's go over to see about Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 20, 12 through 15. A great enemy is coming before Israel. Okay, a great enemy. And he says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on thee. See that focus? There's a great enemy coming, and we have great enemies in our lives, don't we? We have bullies in school. We have bad health. We have a bad situation. We're going to lose our job, and we're going to lose our house or whatever. All kinds of bad things. But our eyes are on you. And all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. Then in the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of a whole bunch of people, the sons of Asaph. And he said, listen, all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Well, we go through some battles. But you know what? The battle is not yours. God knew about, God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always been here, right? God knew about this battle that was going to come. He's in the middle of this battle while we have it, and he's in the victory state because it's all done. God knows past, present, and future. The battle's not yours. It's God's. We got to give it to him, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your calm spirit be known to man, right? Be anxious for nothing. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence or anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. We want that peace. We don't want struggle in our hearts, do we? We want abundant life. We don't want to have horrible lives. We want victory. We don't want to have loss. God's got it all for us. Just focus that he does. Believe. Just like before you went in the burial waters of baptism, you said, I believe in Christ, and we are buried in the waters of baptism, dying to the old self, rising up out of the waters, living a new life with victory in our hearts, because we know we are walking now with the Lord. We're one of the righteous ones. Righteous oaks, Chris, right? Right? So God's got this. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, it says, therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you. To you. To you, to you, to you. He longs to be gracious to you. And therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. It's funny. I thought we were the ones who were waiting. Waiting for the Lord to do something. He's waiting for us to do something. Are you ever going to get on the bandwagon and trust me? Right? You gave your life to me saying that you trusted me years ago, and you're still having trouble with it. Let's trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, and all our ways make our path straight. Right? He waits for us. Psalm 27, verse 14, beginning of verse 13, it says, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Psalm 46, verse 1 beginning, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, did you get that? He's there when we have trouble. He is there. Don't think that he's not there. He's there. By the way, remember what Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, said to the doubting Thomas? He said, when Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And he said, Thomas, blessed are those who believe yet do not see. Okay, we don't see God, do we? We can see God through the things that he has made, it says in Romans, but we would like to see him and say, we'd like to say, prove what you're going to do with me. Show me so I'll know. No, we're in the waiting room. Just have trust, have faith in him. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. In verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am your God. Be still, my heart, right? It's like a parent would say to their anxious child, be still. This is going to be fine. We're going to take care of this. It's not going to happen like you think. It's going to be good. So breathe deep. Breathe deep. Joshua 24:15. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. How about you today? If you think, oh, that's a bunch of malarkey, as they say in Ireland, right? Oh, that's a bunch of malarkey, all that stuff. If you don't believe, is that how they say it, Mayor? I think so. Then find a different God that you will believe. Okay, if it's disagreeable to believe in God, then do something and find the God that pleases you. Choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Right, Debbie and Becky and Jared and Kenny and all your families, right? My house, in my house, we're going to serve the Lord, brethren. What's that?
I said three of you.
Oh, and Mary too. She. Becky, Jared. Oh, Mary and Kenny. I think I know her. We will serve the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 beginning. It says, to sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Okay, we are in this for blessings. It seems like I was going to read a different verse, but anyway, it talks about God's patience. He is patient with us. Oh, yes. Sorry. Chapter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fire ordeal. This is verse 12. The fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing so that also at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exultation. Okay, that's not even the verse I was going to read, but it's a good verse though, right? God has patience with us. We need to have patience with God. You know, in 1 Corinthians 13, Jim did a sermon a little while ago on love. What is love according to 1 Corinthians 13? And you know the first thing after he says that love isn't all this stuff in the first three verses, he said, well, what is love then? He said, love is patient. That's the first thing he said. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know what? That works well in our marriage, in our patience towards other people, but patience with God is necessary. It's like I think pretty much all of us, should pray that God forgives us. For a while in this waiting room, we feel impatient. That we want an answer now. Are you going to fix this or not? God, help us to have abounding patience. We believe in you, and we know that you're going to take care of us. Amen? Let's have that in our heart at all times. So, I'm not going to go and read the 42 chapters in Job, okay? But you know the book of Job. He is a wonderful man. God expounds on how wonderful he is. And then Satan says, oh yeah, well take away his blessings and you'll see how he's going to curse you, right? And so for 37 chapters, we see Job and his, quote, friends examining God and say, how could he do this? Boy, you must be a great sinner for God to have done this to you. Do you ever feel that way in your own life? God, are you doing this because I have sinned so much because I wasn't at church last Sunday? I mean, for whatever the reason, you can turn those arrows at you and say, was it because I've been so sinful? Or maybe other people are saying that. Boy, you must have really sinned to have God's wrath come down on you like that. So Job is trying to find out why he's doing this, why God is doing this to him. When I'm innocent, I haven't done wrong. And so God answers him. Well, Job, it's because I had to prove something to Satan. No, he doesn't come explaining himself. He just says, who are you? Who are you that you would want me to sit on the bench and let me lecture you, right? Or you're going to lecture God about he's unfair about what he did. Where were you when all this stuff happened, when he created the world, et cetera, et cetera? He is a great God, and we have to just get on our knees, really, and thank God for who he is. He is more than just a lot more than just a friend who you consider has done you wrong. I'm not going to hang around that guy anymore. He really ticks me off, right? God is not like that. God loves you, and we have to understand how much he loves us. And he is wonderful beyond degree. And say, who are you that you would counsel me on how I've been wrong to you? Right? So there's a song that says, trust and obey. You know what? We don't have to even read the words of that song. I got out my songbook the other day. I was looking at that song. Debbie and I both agreed that that's the main point. That's everything. We just need to trust and obey. And you know what? I looked at all the words in the song, every stanza, and really it's just about the title. We need to trust and obey. You know that Philippians 4 verse that I just quoted, be anxious for nothing, etc. Debbie and I, a couple of days ago, you know, we do multiple devotions in the morning. Being retired, we sometimes, unless Becky's bothering us, sometimes we have a couple hours to sit there in the morning and just have devotionals, right? And it's amazing. They're all by different companies, but they all come up with the same verse on the same day, Philippians 4, that same verse. It's like, whoa. Wow, out of all the verses in the whole Bible, is God trying to tell us something? Be anxious for nothing, right? If you want the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, right? Now, it says at the end of that chapter, by the way, that I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Can we? Or are we still flipping and flopping like some kind of fish in the road after you caught him and you threw him back there? I can't get back in the water, so I'm just going to flip and flop. I mean, is that how our faith is? We've got to be strong and say, God is going to take care of me. And Steve, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace rule in your hearts. I'm not going to let worry rule. I'm not going to let hurt rule in my life. I'm going to let peace rule in my heart. I have that peace because I've given God my troubles. And he loves me more than I love myself. And be thankful. To which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. The last verse for this morning is 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12 says, for this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. He's got me. He's guarding me until that day. You know, we read, it's funny that I'm over here, 2 Timothy chapter 1. We sang the song this morning, Fan the Flame. Right? Fan the flame. That's right here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. And for this reason I remind you to kindle afresh, or fan the flame, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hand. So we need to fan that flame. Get Christ more active in our lives. Believe, believe, believe. Focus, focus, focus. God's got me. Amen? Almighty God, we love you, Father. We thank you, God, for all things that you give to us. I'm thankful, God, for your patience with us. Help us, God, to be patient with you. Help us to trust you more, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.